are receiving the refugees over there, and the many, there's lots of relief activity that is already happening. And so use those psalms, use the word of God, because that it is meant to be prayed. And so that's what I want to do this morning. I want to use three passages of Scripture to guide our prayer time as we have three different prayers that I would like for you to focus on this morning. So if you would, go with me in prayer. Those of you who would like to come forward and get on the altar, I would like to give you some time. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. The Scripture is going to be on the screen, but I will read this. I did this mainly for those that are joining us online. And if you're online this morning, I encourage you to pray along with us. We absolutely have a holy God. We absolutely have a God who is almighty, who is gracious and merciful and compassionate. And he gives help to his children. And so that is why we are on our knees today. This time, I'd like to ask you to pray for refuge. I want to read Psalm 144, 1 through 2, and you can pray this along with me. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Would you just pray right now that God would be their deliverer? Our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, God Almighty, please deliver them. Be their fortress. Be their refuge. Be their shield during this war, during this conflict. I'd like to ask you also to pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and listen to this, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Pray for those in authority right now who have to make difficult decisions. Ask God to give them wisdom. James 1:5 tells us that if we lack wisdom, let that person ask of God and he will give it generously. So pray for those in authority that have to make difficult decisions right now. Pray that they would make those decisions that will lead to a peaceable life, so that we can live in godliness and in reverence to God. And then this morning, pray for peace. Colossians 3:15 says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Pray that God would bring peace, to bring an end to this war, bring an end to this conflict. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We are here this morning interceding on the behalf of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. Father, we can't even imagine what they're experiencing right now. How fearful they must be. But we know that you are our rock, and we pray that you will be their rock this morning. Would you be their deliverer? Would you be their stronghold, their strength, their shield, their fortress? May they run to you and find solace. Father, we pray for our leaders as they are desperately trying to figure out how to put an end to this conflict, put an end to this war. Give them wisdom, Father. Give them wisdom that is beyond this earth. Give them heavenly wisdom to know what to do. And most of all, Father, we pray for peace. You are the God of peace. You are the Prince of Peace, Scripture tells us. And so we pray that, God, we know that just with one word, with just one word, you can end this war. You can end this conflict. And Father, we pray that this morning. Because you are God, and there is no one like you. For that, Father, we can stand firm in these truths that we've already prayed this morning. And Father, as we go from this place, may we continue our prayers for our brothers and sisters. Continue our prayers for those that are bringing relief. God, in all of this, may your name be glorified. And we ask this in the powerful, mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for leading us in that time. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. I want to preach to you a message that I've titled One for All and All for One. One for All and All for One. Today we have labeled this day, described this day as our, quote, ministry involvement fair. Absolutely stealing the language from Arkansas Tech and their freshman orientation week, all that kind of thing. I've never had an original thought. Everything that is fairly creative or even remotely, I've stolen from somewhere else. So I'll give credit where credit is due, all right? But the idea with their involvement fair is are bringing freshmen in, helping them to see the importance and the value, the opportunities that they have to connect with different organizations, everything from Greek life to campus ministries to all sorts of different activities. Non-COVID, there's tens upon tens, I don't know how many booths, a lot of booths set up, a lot of individuals coming by trying to connect. And one of the reasons that university does that is because they understand that graduation rates go up the more connected students are. And the value of those extracurricular activities outside of their academic studies and their academic work, it increases productivity, increases their graduation rate. Community involvement is tied to that, all those sorts of things. They understand that. And so it's a recruiting process is what it is to help them get plugged into. And so transparently in the same way, similarly of going, hey, we just wanted a day in which we talk about the importance of being a part of the body of Christ, the importance of not just being a part of having a name on a membership roll or whatever the case may be, but the importance of being plugged in, the importance of being a part of, and the importance that that we depend on one another. And so we have a meal today. We have opportunity to learn about different ministries and things going on. Now listen, just because you stay for the meal doesn't mean you have to go by every booth. It doesn't mean that you have to sign up for anything. I really believe today is important if you're able to stay and for us just to be together. to sit across the table from one another, to hear one another, to laugh with one another, to hear struggles and hardship, all those sorts of things. And so this morning I want to preach to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the importance of the body of Christ, that we are one for all and all for one, the importance of this togetherness, how connected we are. And we're going to see this incredible image that Paul gives the church at Corinth of what it is to be a part of the body of Christ. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, I know some of you just got up and sat down and all that sort of thing, but if you find your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? We will have the scripture on the screen for you as well. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He has pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the parts which lack it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word and the truth of your word. I pray you bless the preaching of it. God, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So today we're talking about one for all and all for one, that we are in this together as the body of Christ. And you've got to understand, this is Paul writing to a specific local church, the church at Corinth. Now, I'll reveal this on the front end, and some of you, this may matter to you, some of you, it may not. I am not a, quote, universal church guy. I am a body of Christ. And what I mean by that is we see these statements made about the body of Christ that we seem to take as if there's all these small bodies of believers and then there's this universal. I don't necessarily hold to a universal church in terms of all the bodies of Christ making up this one big church, if you will. But I believe the idea in Scripture, such as Jesus saying, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church," I believe the idea there is the kingdom of God. But within that, there are these individual bodies of believers, the local church. You're going to hear me use that language today. And what I'm talking about is a church like ours. We are a local church. We are autonomous, meaning we gather together as a body of believers. There's no head over us except for the Lord Jesus Himself, okay? We are never outside of the umbrella of God and His kingdom and Jesus, okay? But we are a local body of believers, all within the kingdom of God. And now let me help you, newsflash. Some of you hold on, grab the pew in front of you. The kingdom of God is not just made up of Southern Baptists. Whoa, said it, got out of the way, all right? Everybody's okay. Not at all, right? There are bodies of believers that hold to the true gospel, that believe the Word of God is inerrant, the essentials of the faith, and there are all sorts of different varieties of that. Now listen, to be true believers in a true local church, they've got to hold to some essentials of the faith, okay? And when I use the language universal church, I'm not talking about people believing in that no matter what you believe in, everybody's, no, the kingdom of God, holding to the essentials of the faith. And then we have local churches like ours believing and holding on to the essentials of the faith. We've gathered together, we've covenanted together to cooperate, to share the gospel, to fulfill the mission that Jesus has laid out for us, okay? That's exactly what we're talking about when Paul has written this letter. Get the idea, obviously, you understand this, not what I mean. The idea is he's written this to Second Baptist Russellville. Like, get that picture in your mind. That's what's taking place here. And there's some things that have gone on in the church. There's some things that have happened at the church at Corinth that were not of God, that were not healthy, that were not good. There was some immorality, some different things going on, and Paul has written some strong letters. Matter of fact, historians believe he wrote four letters to the church at Corinth. We have two of them, believed to be fully inspired word of God. And so he wrote some strong things to the church to address some things, to handle some things, to try to help the church be healthier. And then we get to this chapter and he talks about the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? And I believe the idea here, the main idea of the text this morning is the church is a singular body of believers with many members joined together for one purpose. Okay? One body, many members for one purpose. That's the idea. I want us to see that in the text this morning. And so because that's the idea, that's the sort of, if you will, and our roughly working definition of the church, one body, many members for one purpose. Okay? Then the question this morning is this, is do you value your role and the role of others within our church, within this body of believers? Do you value everyone and see the importance of their role? And we're going to look and dig into the truth of God's Word this morning there. And first, I want to look just quickly at verse 12 again, because here's what happens is this idea of this inductive, there's kind of two ways that we, when we study the New Testament, and it's particularly New Testament passages, sometimes the big idea is revealed, and then it's explained, and then sometimes it's sort of explained ramping up to the big idea, okay? Inductive versus deductive, the idea. This starts with the grand big idea, and then Paul just unloads and explains it for us, okay? So we get the big idea. He kind of lays it out for us in verse 12. Look at this. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also in Christ. Okay? That right there, that is essentially the outline for the rest of our message, is verse 12. And we're going to see that as we walk through this. Okay? So, I know that's kind of a lot of groundwork for today, but hopefully it'll help us tie everything together. Number one, the body is a unit. The body is a singular unit. The local church. Okay? So, verse 13, look at this. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, notice this, mark or underline this, one body, being many are, circle underline, one body, so also is Christ. That's verse 12. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into, here it is, mark or underline this, one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. So verse 12, remember, it sets the stage for us. For as the body is one. There it is, first part. He unloads that the body is a singular unit. So as we gather together, this church at Corinth, Paul's writing to them saying, hey, you've got all these people, all these things going on, but first thing I need you to understand, church, is you need to understand that you are one body. This is one team. This is one unit. This isn't a bunch of individuals. We're going to get to that. But this, you need to understand the singular nature of the local church, that first and foremost, we are one body. We get this in other portions of Scripture, Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. When you and I came to a saving relationship with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, set out, called to be a disciple, follow Him, and we gather together, we covenant together, we join together, go, there is a mission that is carried out, given to the local church, body of believers. We are a unit together. Romans 12:4-5 give us more of an indication into this. In verse 4, for as we have many members in, here it is, one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are, look at this, one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So why make such a big deal about this? We are one body. This is important because we are not Second Baptist Church plus youth ministry. We are not Second Baptist Church plus a music ministry. We are not Second Baptist Church plus a senior adult ministry or a college ministry. Like, we have these different ministries, and you're going to learn about a lot of different ministries, but you need to understand this, that student ministry is a part of Second Baptist Church. Music ministry, we are one body in Christ. So it's not that we're fighting for different pieces of pie, or we're fighting over this or that, or struggling with one another, pushing and pulling, all that kind of thing. No, you've got to understand, as Second Baptist Church, we are one body. We have one mission, to go and make disciples of all nations. That's our mission. That's our purpose. And as we gather today, young and old, new believer, old believer, all those sorts of things, we gather today, we are one unit for the collective purpose of God. Remember, one body, many members with one purpose. That's who we are. Number two, the body has many parts. So we are this one unit, yet need you to see this. It has many parts. It's not here for you, but if you have your Bible, just quickly glance at verse 12. For as the body is one, and in the, I told you this was our outline, and has many members. Okay, there's the second point. There's the second idea. So now look down at verses 14 through 19. I want you to see this. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Okay, so hit pause. As we look through this, what Paul is doing, he is taking the illustration of a human body that God formed and fashioned together, and he is applying that illustration to help us learn what it is to be a part of the local church. Okay? That's the picture that's taking place here, okay? So, verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now, if God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He has pleased, and if they are all one member, where would the body be? So, Paul makes some, he makes some drastic illustrations here, and he's using extravagant, strong, outlandish sort of language and questions to drive home a point. He is trying to help the church at Corinth see that, first of all, you are this one unit. Yet, that one unit is made up of many individuals, many members. That's what he's talking about. So he says, let's think about, I'm going to use the human body as an illustration. And he lays out these questions about being, not being a hand, and not being an ear, etc. So let's look back through this, okay? I want you to grab a hold of this. I think one of the main ideas you need to grab out of this section, I want you to listen. This is how we see ourselves. This is important for how you see yourself. Back in verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member but many, okay? He lays the groundwork. Then he's going to ask a set of rhetorical questions to drive home the point. If the foot should say, okay, this is how somebody sees themselves, or the body should see itself, because I'm not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? What's he saying? He's saying, look, the idea of this physical body, if the foot says, well, I'm not a hand, so am I really that important? Do I really matter? Okay? Notice it goes on, verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore the body, not of the body? What's he doing? Go, man, well, foot, he's not the hand, he's out. Then here's he looks, saying, man, if the ear look, has the idea, could speak, go, man, I'm not an eye, so I'm not really that important. Why be here? I don't need to be a part. I'm not that essential. I'm not that important. But then Paul goes on to make the argument. If the whole body were an eye, be a minion, right? Anybody seen? Be like a minion, all right? Some of you are like, if you don't have kids, I get it, all right? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smell? This is absurd, right? He's using absurd language, going, well, of course, it wouldn't be a body if you had an eye. It was just all an eye or just all an ear. And he's using this absurd language because he's trying to help people see the absurdity in which they think about themselves or the absurdity in which they view themselves as importance of the body of Christ. He goes on, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. He's saying God created the body the way that he did, on purpose and with purpose. There's a reason he gave the body two eyes. There's a reason he gave the body two ears. And there's a reason in which God created and why he created in the way that he did. And what Paul is doing, he is starting to draw the net to help them to see the absurdity in which the body, the believers at the church at Corinth, saw themselves. That undoubtedly some looked at themselves as not as important as maybe someone else. He goes on in verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? If everybody, if every part of your body was an eye, then you wouldn't be able to function. And you continue to make the absurd comparison. It's almost elementary, right? But Paul's trying to help the church at Corinth going, man, you've got a bunch of people looking around of going, man, I don't have the gift that they have. I don't have the gift that Miss Margie has, or I don't have the gift that Steve does, or I don't have the gift that Jonathan does. I don't have the gift that Reba does. And look around and go, man, they seem to be really important or have it together or whatever the view is, and I don't seem as important. And the absurdity is this, is going, listen, as much as I love Miss Reba, we don't need a church full of Miss Rebas. We don't need a church full of Chris's. We don't need a church full of Lindas. We need a church of individuals, one unit with many members, because look at this, verse 18, God has set them in the body. And what this section is looking at is going, how are you looking and valuing yourself? How is it that God has called you to be a part of this and you are trying to detract from God's purpose in your life because you're stepping back and going, well, I don't get to be an eye. I've been an ear my whole life. I'm sick of being an ear. Nobody likes the ear. Got to trim the hair and all that sort of, they just keep growing. I want to be an eye. And we laugh because it's absurd. But why do we do it as a part of the body of Christ? God formed and fashioned you in the womb. And he created you with a purpose on purpose. God saw you. He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you, to bring you to salvation. And as a part of that salvation, you surrender your heart and life to Jesus, is a part of fulfilling your mission and your purpose. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. You won't find it in the Bible. He calls us to be a part of a fellowship, a group of believers, where seeking to fulfill the mission of God. And He's created you with gifts, with abilities, young and old. And you are valuable. You are essential to the body of Christ. That's the argument that Paul's making here. It matters how you view yourself. Listen again, Romans 12, 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, look at this, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. There it is. Not everybody's an eye, not everybody's an ear. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. So there's the unity, right? We looked at one unit, but it's many members. And individually members of one another, the importance of each other. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, for he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, with he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So we are one unit. The body is one unit. The body has many parts. Number three, the body is many parts, look at this, working together as one unit. This is where the game sort of changes, right? Look at verse 20. But now indeed, there are many members. Notice he's stressing the importance of this, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. But those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. For if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So what is Paul doing here? Is he not just repeating the idea that he gave? No. What he did is he set the stage in verse 12. Verse 13, one body. Then on 14 through 19, he says that we are many members. Now he's going back to going, we're many members in one body. The 14 through 19 was him saying and wanting to bring attention to, this is how you view yourself. Now he's turned a section, this is how you view others. This is how you think about one another. This is how you think about fellow members, fellow people who are part of our gathering, part of our worship, part of our mission. So let's walk back through it again. I want you to hear this again. Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. That's the stage. And the eye cannot say to the hand, notice this, where previous section was, I'm not this, so I'm not valuable. Notice this. This is you saying about someone else, I have no need of you. Nor again to the feet, I have no need of you. Notice the difference in direction. It was thinking about me and my value. Now it's thinking about your value to our body. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. It's hard for us to think about, but again, it's extreme language, right? Going, It's clear. People do it all the time. There are certain parts of your body that you can do without, right? That's what they say. I'm pretty fond of all of them that I've got, right? For the most part, okay? But there are parts that, in theory, that, hey, you're okay without. And what Paul is doing, he is going, look, they're thinking about this, almost going, man, you're taking this too far. But notice the argument that comes. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. So there are parts of your body that you don't think as much about, but maybe internally they're pretty important. No, nobody has ever said, I want your number, I want to date you because your colon looks pretty good. Right? That would be weird. I'm not a medical professional, but I think it's probably pretty important to have that, right? And so he's saying there's some things that are not as honorable, but they're important. They matter. And he goes on. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. And our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. And that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. It's important to take care of your physical body. It's important to get the medical checkups and all those sorts of things. There are certain things you can look at and tell it's in good health, and there are certain things that it needs more tests. It needs more diagnostics, all those sorts of things. And as a society, we place value on certain parts of the physical body. While certain parts we don't think as much about, but they are vital. Some of those things that our society says are valuable and make a person attractive or whatever case it is, those parts don't have a lot of importance in terms of functioning day to day. But the parts that we don't see or don't think about as much, they're important. You need them to survive. You need them to continue breathing. Right? It happens in the church body. We tend to think about parts of ministry or parts of our church of going, man, if we don't have that, there's no way we can continue. There's no way we can continue to work in this area or grow in this area if we don't have that. While we think about, although we would not say this out loud, we think about other parts of the ministry that we tend to overlook and think, that's not a big deal. Listen, case in point, there are some who think that just because I have some more importance in the body, just because I get the chance to stand here and do this and share the gospel, and I'm grateful, I'm appreciative. But even you think about the service this morning. We have folks that are at home, that are homebound, that cannot get here, that still see themselves. We still believe they are a valuable part of the ministry and the work here at Second Baptist because they continue to pray, they continue to give, and they've not stepped foot in the building in years. Now listen, the way they're able to still feel a part is some of them right now are sitting at home wishing they could be here watching online. And why? It's because we have a whole crew of folks up in the balcony that you never see that are making that happen. We have folks down the hall in the nursery helping care for our little ones and helping to love them in Jesus' name, and that so that some can come and mom and dads and grandmas and grandpas can focus for a few minutes and enjoy just a few minutes, all right? Amen, right? We have folks that are at children's church week in and week out. We have folks who pray. We have folks who give. Man, there's so many things that oftentimes we just think about people. I'm just talking about Sunday morning ministry that stand on this platform and somehow think if those don't continue or those doing it, we somehow seem to be more important. And I'm telling you, friend, that couldn't be further from the truth. What continues to work and continues to propel the gospel forward and continues to be able to, Second Baptist, continue in its mission is not just folks standing on a platform. But it's many of you that are faithful in the way that God has gifted you. And we need to be careful how we think about others. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. You got an ailment in your body, you've got a pain, you've got a hurt. It bothers you, right? It affects what you do. It's hard to tell sometimes. Sometimes injury is not as obvious, sometimes it's more obvious. The same is true in the body of Christ. We have people in our church that are hurting or struggling or missing, whatever the case is. The body of Christ hurts. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself." Can you imagine what kind of church that would be? If everybody, you know, the coaches use this language often, and I don't know any other way to say it, everybody bought in and go, man, you know, everybody else, man, they're important, they're valuable, they're essential to the proclamation of the gospel. They're essential to Second Baptist fulfilling the mission and purpose in which God has placed it. Proverbs 20, verse 12 says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." The Lord has made you, and you're essential. Number four, the body is diverse. The body is diverse. Let's look at verse 27. Here it is. "Now you are the body of Christ." There he draws it, right? He draws the net, kind of punches us right in the gut. Verse 12, we said that's kind of the umbrella, that's the outline for the rest of the passage. Verse 13, we're one body, and we're many members, and then we're many members with one purpose, together, okay? And he uses the physical body illustration, but then right here out of nowhere, verse 27, he's saying, okay, guys, I'm not just talking about a human body anymore, I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about your church. And so you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. What's the idea here? The body is diverse. Okay? We have all sorts. Everybody in here has some sort of gift, some sort of way that God has uniquely created you. Every person in this room uniquely created you to be a part of the local body of believers, to serve and to be faithful and to use that in such a way. What was happening with the church at Corinth, they were fighting over gifts, and it seems to be that they valued the gift of tongues more than anything. Now, let me hit pause. I personally believe anytime the Bible uses this idea of tongues, it is a known language, okay? I don't want to jump off into that and give my biblical foundation, what I believe biblical foundation for that, but just not to chase a rabbit, I believe that's the idea. So God bless these individuals, all these sorts of things. But here's what I need you to see and understand. He talks about this variety, all these different ways in which God has blessed. And the same is true here. There are all kinds of different gifts, different things that God has blessed you with, blessed our church with, and it is a wonderful thing, called us together. And he gives this last verse. He says, "But desire the greater gifts." But notice he ends with this phrase. And some want to make arguments about Paul maybe ranking these as he gives those. And it very well could be, because if you notice kind of in that verse 28, he leaves the tongues at the end. He highlights all these other things, and it seems like everybody really wants to talk about that. But I want you to catch this. At the end, he says, "I will show you an even better way." Here's what I believe Paul is saying. Verse 12 or chapter 12 talks a lot about gifts. Chapter 14, he talks a lot about gifts. Do you know what chapter 13 is? We call it the love chapter. Why in the world would he talk about gifts? He writes this incredible chapter on love, and in chapter 14, he talks about gifts again. Because he, listen to this, in 13, you don't have this, just let me read this to you, okay? And maybe it'll jump out to you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all the faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all the goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And it continues. What's he doing? Chapter 12, you're gifted. You have gifts, desire gifts. Chapter 14, you're gifted. Use your gifts, desire gifts. Chapter 13, love. Why? He is driving home a point. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. You could have every gift, the greatest of every gift, the most of every gift. And if you don't love, it profits you nothing. Second Baptist, we could have the perfect number of members. And all of those members have the perfect gift. And all of those members using, equipping, enjoy, appreciating the gift and making the most of their gift. But if Second Baptist doesn't love one another, see value in someone else, see the way that God has gifted somebody else and rejoice in that, who cares? God certainly doesn't. He's not impressed by an overly gifted church. He's impressed by a church that loves and is committed that we are one body with many members with one purpose. And we've all got diverse gifts. We've all got different ways we think things ought to be done, and that's all well and good. But Second Family, it's a commitment that we're in this together for the glory of God, for His purpose and His mission, and everyone matters. Everyone. And so how do we respond to this? First of all, first thing you've got to respond to is the gospel of Jesus. You maybe came in this morning and say, man, I don't know where my eternity lies. I've never surrendered my heart and life to Jesus. I'm not sure about my salvation. That's step number one. That's ground zero. The most important decision you'll ever make is surrendering your heart and life to Jesus. That's where you begin. Here in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. You right in your seat, you can cry out to a holy God and beg Him for salvation. Beg God to save you. Be the Lord and boss and master of your life. And the Bible says God will do that. There may be some of you this morning that the Lord has convicted you because you've undervalued, you've underappreciated how God has gifted you and God has equipped you. And because of that, you've drawn back. From that, you've been reluctant. You've pushed back, or whatever the case may be. I want to just challenge you, man, ask God to forgive you. And ask God to help you use your gifting and your, however it is He's called you. There's some of you maybe guilty of looking across the aisle at somebody else going, man, they're not really all that important. They really don't matter. Sometimes we do this because of age. We look at folks who go, man, they're too old to be of any value, to do much. Sometimes folks look and go, man, they're too young to be of any value. Folks, we need everyone for the glory and purpose of God. Young and old. You may need to ask God to help you forgive you for undervaluing somebody else. It may be that God's dealing with your heart about joining, being a part of this church family. Here in a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to stand down front. If God's dealing with your heart about salvation, you come. God's dealing with your heart about things going on in your life, you can come and pray. You can pray right where you're at. You can come and say, hey, Pastor, you pray with me? I'd love to pray with you. Maybe God's dealing with your heart about joining our church. You come. Say, Pastor, I want to join this fellowship. We'll talk about what that means and how you begin that process. Whatever God's doing in your heart and in your life, take this moment and respond to Him. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. God, I pray for anybody here that doesn't know you, God. God, that needs salvation, I pray that they would repent and place their faith and trust in you. And if that's you, you just call out to Him. Ask Him to save you and forgive you of your sin, be the boss of your life. Give everything to Him. Bible says if you call out to Him, He'll save you. Just tell Him that you're a sinner. You need salvation. Ask Him to be the boss and master of your life. God, I pray in these next few moments, our heart would be sensitive to what you have for us today. God, not what Chris has had to say, but what you, Holy Spirit of God, has had to speak to individual hearts. And God, we'd respond in obedience to you. I pray in Jesus' name. You remain in an attitude of prayer. God spoke to your heart about salvation. You come, say, hey, Pastor, I need to talk to you about salvation. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe God dealt with your heart about something. You just want to come get on this altar. Maybe it's about church membership or baptism. Whatever God's doing in your heart and your life, you come.
grace.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Let me give you a few instructions and then we will be dismissed. Several of you are helping work one of the ministry tables, booths, or whatever the case may be. I want to invite you to go ahead and step out, let you go ahead and get a head start and to the front of the line. So there you go. Amen. Some of our men are going to help be ready in place to help take up the offering as we leave in just a few moments. Yeah, if you're helping run one of those booths, you can go ahead and stand up and slide out. We're going to ask the Lord to bless the food in just a moment. We want to invite our guest, anyone, please hang around, whether you brought food or not, realized it or not. We'd love for you to stay. If nothing else, just enjoy a meal. Also, you're well aware, I mentioned this a moment ago, there are opportunities to learn more about different ministries that are taking place, ministries that are happening, prayer ministry, audiovisual ministry, children's ministry. So many, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to let our folks that are helping at those tables, they're going to go ahead and get their meal. We'll let everybody go through, get their food, and hopefully with their head start eating, then they'll transition back to the table so that you can go by and check that out. We do have a senior adult luncheon this week, so there is a sign-up sheet down there. So if you wouldn't mind, please sign up for that. Give us an idea of how many that we can anticipate going to be here. I believe that is at noon on Wednesday. I hope that's right. Is that right, Miss Linda? I'm sorry. March 1st. Is March 1st Tuesday? Okay. All right. She knows everything. I know nothing. So that's why when you call, you talk to her and not me, because she knows things. So anyway, Tuesday at noon is a senior adult luncheon here. So I hope that you'll make plans to be here for that. Okay. Last thing I do want to mention to you, and I want to be careful in how I talk about this just for security reasons. We waited to the end of service so that our live stream would end. Just be praying for Kara and Brant. They are our missionaries over in just outside there in London. And they are with a missionary team there looking at how and ways and opportunities that they can minister to, particularly Ukrainians that are refugees, okay? And so just be praying for them. There's a lot of different things happening there, and so I want to be careful not to necessarily divulge too much, but be praying for Brant and Kara, the missions team that they are working with there, just opportunities to minister to those that are fleeing, okay? All right. Okay, I think that's it. So I hope you'll make plans. I can smell the food right here. I wasn't hungry till they opened those doors, so but now I'm going to pray a lot faster. So let's stand, and we'll ask the Lord to bless the food. Thank you for being here. Opportunity to give as you leave, and just pray you have a great week. Let's pray. Jesus, you are good. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. We thank you for all things. I pray that you bless those that are able to give, and bless those that aren't able. God, help us to give in the way that honors you. I pray that you would bless the food in the hands that prepared it. God, I pray that you would use this time of fellowship and, Lord, continue to use, work, and grow our church for your glory and for your name's sake. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is amazing grace. This is amazing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my